1550 AM and 97.1 FM, and we are streaming live at NorthIdahoRadio.com, so you can, you know, you can have it your way. Hey, I'm excited about today's program. I think I'm going to learn a lot. I hope you guys do too. It's all about Bonner General Health, our health and medical center right here in Sandpoint that serves a huge region when you think about it, all the way from Boundary County and Bonner's Ferry south, Sagal, even further south, from Montana to Priest River, Priest Lake. It's a big area of service that they have. And here's the fun part about, well, all the programs, but today especially, is that I get to ask the questions, and my guests are here because they're experts and they have to answer are the questions. So it's a good deal for me, at least, and for you guys too. My guests are Dr. Mark Torres. He is a doctor of ophthalmology. It's a new clinic, relatively new, at Bonner General Health. And Daniel Holland is also here with us. He is the Director of Diagnostic Imaging at Bonner General Health. So we have a lot coming your way. Sit, stay right where you are, because you're invited in on this conversation. And we will be right back.
BF Quick Lube at the top of the South Hill does more than just lubes and oil changes. They do them quick. Just stop by or call and make an appointment at 208-267-7481. Along with regular maintenance, BF Quick Lube can handle most of your other auto repairs. BF Quick Lube would like to take this time to say thank you to each of their customers for putting their trust and support in their services year after year. For a quick lube and oil change and so much more, visit your friends at BF Quick Lube on the South Hill in Bonner's Ferry.
Super One Foods in Sandpoint wants you to know they're going to great lengths to keep their customers safe. They've installed acrylic shields in the check lanes, and the counters are being continually cleaned. For your added convenience, try their shop online service. Just go to superonefoods.net. Place your order and set the time for pickup. When you arrive, your personal shopper will have your groceries ready for you and bring them out to one of their parking spaces reserved just for online customers. It's that simple. Go to superonefoods.net and shop online today.
The aftermath of an accident is confusing and scary, and the next move you usually make is a call to your insurance company.
Hi, this is Shane from North Idaho Collision Repair Center in Bonner's Ferry, here to tell you it is always your choice where you get your vehicle repaired. Your insurance company may try to steer you towards a contracted shop, some of which are not local, and can agree to use aftermarket, imitation, or even junkyard parts. Here at North Idaho Collision Repair Center, we really are different because we work for you, not the insurance company, to ensure quality repairs by ICAR certified technicians in a state-of-the-art shop.
From the minute you walk into North Idaho Collision Repair Center, you will notice the difference in how you are treated. They really do care, and they encourage you to see what their customers are saying. Check out North Idaho Collision Repair Center's reviews at carwise.com, or you can find them online at nicrepaircenter.com.
At North Idaho Collision Repair Center in Bonner's Ferry, we're here for you when you need us.
Shiloh Inns are open and ready to welcome you back. Hello, I'm Mark Hemstreet, owner of Shiloh Inns. While we practice social distancing, we're still always committed to providing clean, safe, comfortable rooms and friendly service. Shiloh hotel guests and employees deserve the peace of mind knowing that we are always focused on maintaining high standards of cleaning and safety practices. Our American spirit is alive and strong, and while we're all going through these unprecedented historical times, we can face these challenges together. Although we may wear face masks, there are no restrictions on still making travel memories for business or pleasure. So book your next stay with confidence by calling 1-800-222-2244 or visit our website at shilohinns.com. Shiloh Inns, affordable excellence. American family owned and proud of it.
KSPT 1400, KBFI 1450, North Idaho's radio.
Hey there, everyone. Thanks for joining us today. Join me, say hello, and welcome to our guest, Dr. Mark Torres. Dr. Mark, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me. It's a pleasure to be here.
Thank you. And Dan Holland, who is with the Diagnostic Imaging, also at Bonner General. Thanks for being here today.
Hi, Barbara. It's nice to meet you.
Well, it's kind of exciting. I knew a couple of years ago, Bonner General was given a certain trauma center designation, and it's considered a level 4 critical access hospital. And I'm just wondering, you know, what does that mean in terms of how is that a different step? Are there more services available, or what does that mean? Can either one of you take that?
Sure. So critical access is actually a designation that probably helps in several ways. First of all, a hospital that's designated as critical access is usually eligible for additional funding, either from private entities or government funding to help to augment services, to augment facilities, to augment technology. In addition to that, typically critical access facilities are able to collect a higher level of revenue for the services that they provide because they're typically providing those services to what can be a relatively large population but spread out over a large geographical area where patients have to travel sometimes great distances just to access even basic levels of care. So the designation is meant to help those facilities to meet the demands of a geographic region that is much different than when you're in a population dense place where you know where facilities can be more easily located and be more numerous.
Right. Well, we are definitely very blessed to have Bonner General Hospital, Bonner General Health Complex here, all the new buildings, all the new services, and that's why you guys are here. Before we get into with Dr. Mark Turris in ophthalmology, I'd like to know what drew you into medicine, who or what drew you into medicine as a career, and how did you end up in ophthalmology as a specialty?
Oh, boy, that's a really good question. I think the attraction to medicine for me was probably several fold. First of all, I had a great deal of interest when I was in school, elementary school, high school, in science and math. And so when you move on to college, a lot of individuals who are interested in those sorts of things, they end up in some fairly well-defined career fields, usually engineering or scientific research and development or medicine. And so medicine was attractive to me when I was going through my educational process. The thing that probably drew me to medicine was more of a service-minded thing. I enjoy that part of medicine where you're actually trying to do what you can to make things better for other individuals. So I think it's that combination. Things that specifically drew me to ophthalmology, a lot of it was just the amount of scientific stimulation that there is. It's a specialty that requires a great deal of knowledge of different scientific fields to include chemistry, biology, physics. But in addition to that, also a good grasp of technology. And so I think the specialty keeps evolving. It keeps moving forward in terms of upgrades in technology and in terms of new scientific knowledge. And so it's that intellectual stimulation that kind of continuously comes with the specialty that keeps me interested.
All right, let's ask the same question. Let's just get Dan Holland in on this conversation. What drew you into the field of medicine,
sure.
And specifically you ended up in imaging?
I kind of had a little bit probably more indirect route. When I was in college, I was, at least the first time, I was really interested in law and wanted to become a lawyer. So I was studying political science and philosophy, and I had about a year left my senior year, and I decided I did not want to go to law school. So my passion was to help
Good
people.
Decision.
Right. My passion was to help people. I also enjoyed technology and imaging. Almost, I wouldn't say more so, but imaging is so technology based that it changes very rapidly, and I really liked that aspect of it. So that was kind of what brought me that direction.
Right, we've got it. You're a geek. We like it.
That's right.
How'd you get to Sandpoint, Dan?
I am a local.
Really?
I was born in the hospital that I work in, which is very cool.
That is very cool. Well, that's why you've got a 4.5 minute, you know, commute. You grew up in the neighborhood.
I left when I turned 18. I didn't move back to Sandpoint until I was 30, but I did get back to Coeur d'Alene and Post Falls when I was about 24, 25 years old. And I commuted up for a little while, and we finally made the plunge, and now I get to raise my kids in the same community that I got to grow up in.
I love it.
And my wife, she's also a local. So we got to come back home, and that's pretty cool.
Very cool. Yep. Well, Dr. Mark, how about you? How did you end up in Sandpoint?
So my pathway's a little bit different. I'm actually originally from the Southwest, so Santa Fe, New Mexico, which is still one of the Rocky Mountain states. But I spent several years in the military. And then retired from that profession about a year ago, and had always had an attachment to the area, had spent quite a bit of time here over many, many years, primarily for recreation, both summer and winter recreation, so was very familiar with the area and liked it a great deal. And it was basically an alignment of the stars and a little bit of luck. I was leaving the military, and Bonner General was looking for an ophthalmologist, and here I am living the afterlife and living the dream.
I know. That's what everybody thinks. We are. It's just such a wonderful place to bring up a family. It's a great place to retire, a great place to live and work.
It was funny. Working in administration, we were hearing about Dr. Torres for so long. We were waiting for him to get out of the military, and it's like, all right, he's finally here. It's been wonderful.
And then what a disappointment. No, I didn't say that.
People were starting to wonder if I really existed.
Exactly. Figment of somebody's imagination. Well, let's stick with ophthalmology then. First of all, what is it? I mean, we all know it's got something to do with our eyes, but what do you actually do?
Correct. So some of understanding the specialty of ophthalmology is also just understanding the difference between, you know, some eye care professionals. So ophthalmologists are primarily individuals who are trained to manage diseases that involve the eye, either medically or surgically. We have some colleagues in the eye care profession, to include optometrists, which most folks will be familiar with. Optometrists are typically what we would consider primary eye care providers. So they are the ones that folks will go to for glasses or contact lenses. But in addition to that, a lot of optometrists, especially optometrists in this type of an area, once again, you had talked about critical access earlier. So in a community such as Sandpoint, there can be certain specialties in medicine that are absent, and the nearest location for those would be, say, Coeur d'Alene or Spokane. So primarily with eye care and eye health, the optometrist in the community will function as that primary eye care resource. And so the ones in a community such as this will be very adept at doing some level of management of ocular problems. Typically when those problems reach a point where they need just a different level of management or intervention, they'll refer those patients either for medical or surgical care to us. And then the third individual that's involved in that is someone who's known as an optician, which is primarily an individual who is an expert in fabrication of glasses or different sort of visual devices.
So you treat both adults and children in your practice, is that correct?
That's correct.
And what are some of the diseases that you see in the eye? Like, I had a friend who had shingles in the eye. It was a horrible thing. And but I don't know that there was any treatment for it. What are some of the things that you see that you treat?
Yeah, so that's actually a very good example. The eye is an extension of the rest of the body. It's not an isolated organ system, and so many of the diseases that can affect the body in general can also affect the eye. So high blood pressure, diabetes, viral illnesses, bacterial illnesses, shingles being one example of a viral illness. So the eye is not isolated from being involved with disease processes that otherwise affect the human body.
You know, you have brought up some, I was going to ask it a little bit later, but let me ask it now. I read this incredible article that it was not off of Facebook, okay? It was an article, but it wasn't like Mayo Clinic. And it said that many of the diseases, just what you're saying, diseases that are in our body can be diagnosed or seen at some level in our eyes. Like, you can look in my eyes and tell me if I have diabetes. I just can have a very difficult time, or high cholesterol. I don't have to give blood anymore. Help me understand what, when you look into a patient's eyes, what can you see in there that may be beyond the reason they're there to see you? You say, uh-oh, look in there. I'm seeing some diabetes in there for you.
So that's a very good point. So the eye is essentially a window to the human body. So it's a, you know, it's a transparent structure. So just like we can see out of our eyes, someone like me who's examining the eyes, we can look in, and the eye is the only organ system in the body where we're actually able to do that, without imaging, where we're actually able to directly visualize the internal structures of the human body. So when I look into someone's eyes, I can see their blood vessels. I can see their retinal tissue, which is nothing more than an extension of the brain, of the central nervous system. So the eye is basically a window. It actually lets you directly visualize the interior of the human body in one particular fashion, unlike any other organ system.
That is just so amazing and so wonderful that you can see that. I mean, this article talked about Lyme disease, vitamin A deficiency, thyroid disease, high blood pressure, high cholesterol, diabetes, and cognitive impairment. That there's something that you could see. It doesn't mean you will always be able to see it. Is that true? Healthy blood flow to the brain, will begin to show up in the eyes.
That's actually correct. In addition to that, there are some things that can basically affect multiple organ systems. So let's say balance. So balance is typically a complex function of interactions between the balancing system of the human body, which is actually in the auditory, the ear system, along with the brain, the central nervous system, and then along with the ocular system as well too. So any sort of process that disrupts one of those systems will have carryover effects to the other. So there are frequently times when we can look at the eye, or maybe look at some of the symptoms that a patient is having. Say they're having balance issues, double vision, movement, difficulties with movement of the eyes, that may not necessarily be directly attributable to the eyes themselves, but are a manifestation of a disease process beginning to start somewhere else in the human body.
So my eye doctor is Dr. Julie. So when she looks in my eyes, does she have the training to see these things, or some of them too? Or is it we need to make it? How do we make an appointment with you? I mean, surely we're referred because we have X disease, or we have X maybe an automobile accident that has injured the eye.
Correct.
So we need to be referred to a specialist like you.
Correct. For the most part, that's how most patients access an ophthalmologist. That type of a specialty is through a primary care provider, and with the eyes, the primary care providers for the eyes are optometrists. Mm-hmm. Once again, especially in a community such as Sandpoint. So you're correct. The optometrists are able to see exactly the same things that I am. But for whatever reason, they may have some limitations of technology. Everybody has, limitations in their background. Some of us are better at doing certain things than others. And so if they reach a point where they feel like managing something is beyond the scope of their skills or talents or expertise, then they refer. And so the majority of patients that come to me have been seen by an optometrist, by a primary eye care provider, and have been referred for another evaluation and just another opinion.
Right. But that would be for an eye thing. I mean, you know, if we're talking about like thyroid disease, I mean, I'm not going to my eye doctor for thyroid disease. Anyway, it's just, you know, who's going to see that and who's going to tell me that and say, you know, Barbara, I'm seeing something in your eyes that's concerning me.
Correct.
I guess my eye doctor would.
Yeah. And then there are some diseases that routinely have as part of their checklist for providers, for healthcare providers, things that get checked on a regular basis. Diabetes is a good example. Mm-hmm. There are recommendations from the American Diabetic Association that all diabetics should have an eye exam once a year.
Yes.
And so those recommendations and that checklist for another healthcare provider is already sort of built into to the care for that particular individual. And I would say for the most part, providers are very good about referring when they need to, and you know, going down their checklists and making sure that the things that a patient with a particular disease entity needs are getting taken care of, not just in my specialty, but lots of other specialties.
Yeah, you know, I was just thinking that I just had my teeth cleaning with my dentist here in Sandpoint. And, you know, of course, they're looking all over for all kinds of stuff. But I think he also is probably, I mean, you just get the feeling they're really looking at you and looking at the color of different things. And I don't know if he was looking at my eyes or not, but that there is some crossovers and cross-referencing that he is trained to maybe look for that would not be his area of specialty, something that would be a warning sign that he would be aware of and that he could refer over. Well, I can tell that, you know, we're not going to get all my questions answered today. Obviously, we're going to have to come back. We're up to a break. We're going to take that break right now. Everybody, stay right where you are. We have so much more coming your way.
It's Abe Knudsen from Knudsen Chevrolet. With earlier evenings, bonfires, and pumpkin spice, it's what we like to call fall savings time at Knudsen Chevrolet. If a trip to the backcountry is in your plan this fall, make it in a new 2020 Chevy Silverado Crew Cab LT 4x4. At 21% off MSRP, you can buy stock number KK9890 now for $36,487 plus tax and fees after rebate, and dress it up with $1,000 of free accessories. Hurry so you don't miss fall savings time, because this offer expires November 2nd, 2020. Test drive our new shopping experience with ShopClickDrive at Knudsen.com. Experience our commitment to your safety and security at home or office, or schedule a time just for you at the dealership. Find new roads at Knudsen Chevrolet, minutes west of Coeur d'Alene, just a short drive east of Spokane at 1900 East Polston Avenue in Post Falls. Knudsen Chevrolet, hard to say, easy to save.
Hello, this is Jeweler Jane from Clark's Diamond Jewelers in beautiful downtown Coeur d'Alene. All jewelers are not created equal, any more than all doctors, lawyers, or mechanics. And shopping for a family jeweler is no less important than these other professionals. My diamond dad has always said he wouldn't sell a diamond that he wouldn't give to his mother. And he really loves grandma. We all do. And my grandpa Ralph used to say, if you don't know diamonds, know your diamond jeweler. I am so thankful for all these generations of valued customers, and invite you to consider Clark's if you're shopping for fine jewelry or buying or selling a diamond.
It's a dream come true for me, Jane, to watch you and your amazing team work with all the newest technology and styles. The industry has changed so much in the past 40 years, but service, quality, and value remain timeless.
At Clark's, we remain committed to providing the latest in styles and design at the best price. After all, a diamond represents a commitment to a lifelong relationship with each other.
And with your jeweler. Clark's Diamond Jewelers in beautiful downtown Coeur d'Alene since 1907.
Do you hear that delicious sound? No, it's not the freshly fried patty of the Crispy McChicken sandwich. Well, actually it is. But it's also the sound of a debt being paid. Because this golden crisp chicken could be the very first meal you treat your parents to. Yes, parental payback is now available in many delicious McDonald's deals.
Like buy one, get one for a dollar.
every day at McDonald's, mix and match a new hot and spicy McChicken with classics like a McDouble, McChicken, or four-piece chicken McNuggets. Price and participation may vary.
With McDelivery, get your favorites, like a juicy quarter pounder, golden fries, and crispy chicken McNuggets. Ordering is easy. Choosing which you'll eat first, not as easy.
Every day at McDonald's, share a classic Big Mac pack with two Big Mac sandwiches, two medium fries, and a 20-piece chicken McNuggets. Get it with McDelivery or mobile order and pay. Price and participation may vary. Delivery prices may be higher than at restaurants. Delivery fee, service fee, and or small order fee may apply.
Get it contactless with McDelivery.
97.1 FM and 1450 AM, 1400 AM, North Idaho's radio.
Everybody, welcome back in. We're talking today with Dan Holland. He is the Director of Diagnostic Imaging at Bonner General Health. And we're also talking with Dr. Mark Torres, who is a doctor of ophthalmology. And we've been learning a lot about what our eyes are telling us about our health as it relates to our eyes, but our health as it relates to our body. We're going to turn our attention now to diagnostic imaging. And I was thinking of all the things that I'm aware of for imaging, but let's just go down that
bullet
list.
Sure, want to go down the line?
There are so many
ways
that you have to look inside our bodies.
So I always have to go through in a particular order because I'll forget something. So we're going to start in the back of the hospital where the MRI machine is.
Okay.
And we got to go into nuclear medicine and then hop into X-ray. And X-ray is everywhere. They're running portables throughout the hospital. They got X-ray machines that are in surgery doing surgery. And then they have machines that are inside that little area as well. Then you got to hop over to computed tomography or CT or CAT scan, whatever, however you've heard it called before. Then we hop into ultrasound, and ultrasound is kind of divisioned up into a couple different categories. We have kind of your normal general ultrasound. We also have echocardiology, and then we do obstetrics as well, or OB ultrasound. Then we got to hop across the street to the HSB building, where we have mammography, bone densitometry. We also have a tech that works at our orthopedic clinic, taking x-rays there as well. And then there is an x-ray machine out in at BGIC, which is our immediate care clinic.
Well, there are so many tests, like I said, or imaging that help the doctors understand what's going on inside our body. Did I read correctly that we have a new or newer within the last year or two or whatever of an MRI machine or
yes.
a state-of-the-art? Tell us about how that what that upgrade is.
Sure. And I think that upgrade really is a kind of a perfect example of as we do upgrades, what we hope that they're going to do for the community. So the new MRI is a 1.5 Tesla. That's the size of the magnet. It's a superconducting magnet like all MRIs are, which means they're constantly on. They're never off. They sustain themselves with their own energy, which is pretty amazing.
Ooh, sounds like hell.
Yeah. So
is it talking yet?
Not talking yet. But the magnet itself, with the upgrade in technology, it did a couple things. One, it's much faster. And faster means a couple of different things. A, it means we can be more efficient. It means we can get more patients in and out, which is good for the community. B, it also means you're not in the magnet as long, which if you've ever had an MRI and you've had to go head first into that tube, you know, it can be a little bit unnerving for a period of time. So if you're able to cut a study from 40 minutes in the tube down to 30 or 25 minutes, that's just good for the patient itself. The size of the magnet, the actual tube you go into is much larger. It's 30% larger,
oh, wow.
Which is, it's technically considered a wide get. And actually still be a closed bore magnet.
You know, I think everybody's a little claustrophobic.
I know I am.
I think some people are at the way end of the scale,
yes.
others, but everybody's got this little thing of getting, don't get in my space, you know?
I thought I wasn't anymore, and then I said, oh yeah, I'll be a test patient. You can scan my head. They got me in there. It's like, nope, you got to get me out. Sorry. So yeah, I am one of those people.
You can identify. Well,
yes.
That's nice. You have some
and then
empathy.
The quality. The actual images that are coming off this magnet are incredible. They just, you know, technology and imaging progresses, and it'll be kind of stagnant for a little bit of time, and then it'll just jump. Well, MRIs had a jump in the last 5, 6, 7 years. And this new magnet, for the size of magnet it is, I can 100% say it's the nicest 1.5T magnet that's available on the market right now.
Wow.
So it's really great.
Congratulations yeah. to all of us.
Yes.
And I also understand it's quieter.
It is. It's funny. So when you get into an MRI, they run these sequences, and they're just different types of pictures they're taking. Each sequence has its own noise. Most of the sequences are much quieter. I will say there's a couple sequences that are an odd noise that still, I think, are on par with the old magnet, but most of it is definitely quieter.
Well, that's all good yep. news. Well, let me see. I got a couple of questions on, let's go with mammography,
sure.
since that's something near and dear to my heart.
Breast Cancer Awareness Month, we're in October.
Yes, it is. And for men and women.
Correct.
But so the new mammography machine mm-hmm. that we have, it's maybe 2 or 3 years old.
We got like in 2015, that? Actually.
Oh, okay.
So it's five years old, but it is a breast tomosynthesis machine, which means it can do 3D mammography.
3D.
That's correct.
But it still hurts. Let's just get that out on the table.
Yes.
So I was reading about thermography, mm-hmm. which is a heat, a way of diagnosing at least breast tissue mm-hmm. for cancer with heat, but mm-hmm. it wasn't as effective. Is there ever anything that you would be first line, do thermography because it won't hurt, and then if you see something, we could go to the pain?
So we're accredited by the American Society of the ASRT, and they're going to, or the ACRT, they're going to kind of go down the road of screening mammography is going to still be your gold standard. I don't think we're getting away from that anytime soon. There's some new emerging technologies that are coming out that are going to kind of help aid in detection, especially for patients who, say, have very dense,
okay,
dense breast
dense,
tissue.
Right.
MRI is playing a much larger part in that as well now. And I think a good example of how things work together are how we do diagnostic mammograms. So let's say you come in, you get your screening mammogram done, and there's maybe an area of interest, and we want to call you back. And you come in and we do some additional imaging, and then we pair that up with an ultrasound. And both those two things work together to tell the whole story. And to do only one and not the other, you're only going to get a part of the story. So I think there's a lot of synchronization when it comes to diagnosing, especially breast cancer.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my compliments really sincerely to all of the people that work in women's health in the new building. I mean, it is just a glide path. You just everything is so smooth.
Good.
And so easy. And yes, you know, the actual process is a little painful and uncomfortable.
Sure.
But they do it in such a very obviously professional way, but very caring way.
Yeah.
And they're pretty fast too.
They are fast.
If you're willing to hold your breath for just a second, boom,
yep.
they take that picture and
that's
tell
right.
you right away, yeah, that's a good one. We've got that. Before we take a break, let's see if we can get DEXA. This is another one I've had. What an easy. See, I wish all of our tests could be like a DEXA.
Yes.
Whatever that science is, let's get that for everything because it just like, it's really like Star Trek, actually, because
mm-hmm.
it just kind of rolls back and forth. And,
yep.
You know.
DEXA, bone densitometry.
Yes.
So bone densitometry is an interesting one because most of what we do, there is a true qualitative element to it. Bone densitometry is not that way. It is really high-level statistics. So basically what that does is it goes through and whatever body part we scan, it's taking measurements. It's taking the gray scale, so the color that your bone is as it shows up on the screen, and it's matching it against a corresponding density. And then what it does is it takes that density and it maps it against a massive amount of data that's in the system already, huge case studies where so that they can map you against your demographic to know where you're at on an average scale. And so the numbers that are coming out aren't necessarily based on, it's all numbers. They're not analyzing the actual image themselves. They're analyzing the numbers that are associated with each little grayscale unit that's on that picture.
Right. It's kind of like how you line up to a norm for your age, for your ethnicity,
for your sex as well,
for your gender. Yep. And it's how you line up to that normal table.
That's correct.
It's kind of like how you are. Mm-hmm. But I mean, if they compared me to a 20-year-old, I mean,
and they do.
Would be shipping me. They'd be calling ER.
So we actually compare against two different demographic groups. Typically, we're always comparing against your same sex, and then we compare against
same age.
So we compare against same age, and then you also get compared, if you're over a certain age, which is over 50, then you also get compared to what is considered a peak bone density for your same ethnicity sex. And so that you get a picture of maybe you used to be, where you are now, versus also where you are against people of your own.
Yeah, you could have gone all day without bringing that. Like, okay, like after 50, downward slide. It's like after 50, it's a whole new game. It's just like a whole new statistic. Let's not get worried. Yep. It's not going to be good.
That's right. But if you're under 50 and you're coming in, you're only getting measured against your what would be considered peak bone density.
You cannot save this for me. It's still not good. All right, we're going to take another break. You guys stay right where you are. We're going to be right back.
Let Thick and Thin Beams of Bonner's Ferry, your hometown sawmill, help you spruce up your home with new flooring, a decorative mantel or desktop, or beams up to 44 feet long. Just about anything you can dream up, the guys at TNT can help design. Be sure to check out Thick and Thin Lumber first for all of your wood product needs. For fast, reliable service and competitive pricing, come see the mill at 4355 Cow Creek Road or check out their website, tntbeams.com. For local wood products, think Thick and Thin Beams of Bonner's Ferry.
North Idaho's Radio and Parker Subaru are teaming up for the 4th annual Sandpoint High School New Car Raffle. Help Sandpoint High School students reach their goal with your purchase of new car raffle tickets. And on January 8th, you could be driving a new 2020 Subaru Crosstrek Premium. Last year, students raised over $58,000. Get your $5 new car raffle ticket from any Sandpoint High School student. Sponsored by Parker Subaru and North Idaho's Radio.
Hi, this is John Darling with Flooring Outlet by Carpet One. A few years ago, we recognized our community needed a flooring outlet option to purchase clearance and closeout flooring products. Being locally owned for 75 years, we feel that Flooring Outlet by Carpet One can give our community just what it needs without fighting the box store crowds and promotes buying local. Whether big or small, we've got your flooring project covered. We purchase flooring in large quantities so you don't have to. Because at the Flooring Outlet, you get more and save more. Looking for a whole house of flooring? We either have it in stock or can negotiate the very best price for your project. Because we offer big value at a small price. Save more on products such as waterproof flooring, carpets, sheet vinyl, hardwood, laminate, and ceramic tile. You will find high style for a low price. So come on down to Flooring Outlet by Carpet One, located between Superdrug and Safeway in Sandpoint, where you'll find beautiful floors for less.
Whether you're into outdoor adventure, want to freshen up your home decor, or need to find the perfect gift, Windfall has it all at Northern Quest. Shop iconic brands like Filson, Pendleton, Danner Boots, Hobo, Costa, and more in a beautiful modern space. Even use your Camas Rewards card to redeem points for your favorite merchandise or earn points on every purchase. Windfall, a unique shopping experience. Only at Northern Quest. See more at windfallnq.com.
Let's face it, there hasn't been much to smile about lately. I mean, heck, I hadn't seen my smile in weeks. Until I went to Northern Quest. There's plenty there to put a smile on any face. Millions in jackpots every month, great food at Epic, cigars at Legends of Fire, and top shelf drinks in the lounge at Massalo's. I mean, sure, I was a little rusty at first, but smiling is just like riding a bike. Except, well, I guess with your mouth. Northern Quest. Now playing, now paying.
Missed a noon hour? Check out the audio at our new website, NorthIdahoRadio.com.
All right, everybody, welcome back in. Talking today with Dr. Mark Torres and Dan Holland, who's the Director of Imaging. I am so excited that you can do and we can have in our area now cataract surgery that began this summer. That's great. Tell us about what the services are in that area.
So cataract surgery is probably the most common surgical procedure that's performed in ophthalmology. It is also the most commonly performed Medicare surgical procedure of everything. So it's the largest volume surgical procedure that is performed under Medicare across all specialties. Cataract surgery is primarily nothing more than replacing the cloudy natural lenses of the eyes with synthetic lenses. So as we age, our lenses become less clear. And for the most part, it's kind of a natural aging change that takes place, just like a lot of other things that potentially change as we get older. There are some other things out there that can cause cataracts to develop or progress, you know, quicker to a greater extent. But for the most part, it's an aging process. And so for most of us, if we live long enough, we're going to get cataracts and presumably at some point in time in the future, we're going to need cataract surgery. And so the surgery itself is really nothing more than removing the cloudy natural lens of the eye and replacing it with a synthetic lens. It's become very technologically advanced. The instruments that we use for cataract surgery, it's all technology, you know, nowadays. So there are technological devices that we use during the surgery that have helped to improve the outcomes, make the surgery quicker, more efficient. There's quite a bit of technology that leads up to the cataract surgery where now we have technology that it basically calculates a custom lens for each individual patient. And so when the lens is replaced, in addition to replacing the cloudy natural lens of the eye, we can add people's eyeglass prescription to that lens and reduce the prescription that they're wearing.
Or have bifocals even.
Correct.
Have two,
yeah.
Distance and close-up.
Right.
If you want to try to, you know, orient to that.
Mm-hmm, that's correct. We have synthetic lenses now that are called multifocal lenses, which are a combination of both. They offer near and distance vision. There's lenses that correct for astigmatism now. So the technology and the science has advanced quite a bit over the last 30 or 40 years.
No kidding. It really has. My doctor was saying there's a possibility that the new lens that has been put in, the man-made lens, over time, and again, it could be different for each person, a little bit faster, a little bit slower, that it may cloud up and they don't have to be taken out, but zapped with a laser.
That's correct.
What's that deal all about? Yes. Do you do this laser zapping?
We do the laser procedure at Bonner General in the ophthalmology service. We have the laser right there in the clinic. It's a clinic-based procedure. It takes maybe 5 to 10 minutes. It's not painful at all for the patient. But basically what happens is the best way to describe it would be that a film builds up on the synthetic lens. But it's a one-time occurrence. And so essentially what this laser does is it polishes off the synthetic lens. But once it does it one time, it's very rare that that procedure needs to be repeated.
But it could be repeated if it needed to be?
It can be, yes.
Wowza. It's kind of like getting your windows washed. You know how your headlights, you know, that the headlight cover, you know, can get yellowed or cloudy and you're supposed to, I don't know, rub it with toothpaste or something. I just take it into the shop because I figure if they're going to use toothpaste, they can't possibly be using toothpaste. Anyway, the point is you're not using toothpaste on our lenses.
No.
You're zapping it with lasers. I love it. I love it that we've got cataract surgery right here in Sandpoint. That's like a big step up so we don't have to go to Coeur d'Alene or even the Spokane Valley. I wanted to ask you, and we touched on it in the break about new technology coming in for imaging, anything on the horizon, anything that you're hoping for that may or may not be arriving?
You know, for technology-wise, you know, we're always looking at technology. Technology is always changing in radiology. When we're evaluating technology, we're looking for something that's going to improve patient comfort, efficiency, and quality.
Right.
Last year we also upgraded our X-ray equipment, and we converted everything to what's called direct capture radiology, which is another good example of kind of ways that we're trying to look for, providing that efficiency and quality upgrade, where instead of taking a picture on a cassette and you have to run it through a laser red cassette, and then it shows up on a screen, and then you send it over to another machine and then, you know, deal with it there. It goes directly, when you take the image, it goes directly into the patient's chart. Mm-hmm. So it's there immediately.
Wow.
And the quality, the pixel depth, and the ability to view different contrast is absolutely incredible.
Yeah. Well, don't be misled, everybody. You still want to stay healthy out there just because they can do all these miraculous things. Stay healthy. And that gets me to a couple of questions on nutrition. Dr. Torres, you were saying that, yes, you do talk to your patients about nutrition and what they can do to help support their eyes and the health of their eyes. What is some of the advice that you give your patients?
Sure, absolutely. So, and not just nutrition, other lifestyle considerations. So on the nutrition front, some of the things that you can do are just things that you would do in general for good health. Take a multivitamin. It doesn't have to be anything fancy or special. There are some eye conditions, some diseases that some individuals may have where different vitamin formulations would be advised for them. But in general, most individuals who are otherwise healthy, just a good multivitamin every day is fine. Other things include diet. The same recommendations for a lot of other. Good general health recommendations are the same for the eyes. I usually tell individuals to, the best way to put it is a colorful, I call it a healthy, colorful diet.
Yes.
That way you don't have to try to remember specific things. So,
yeah.
Colorful diet would be, all sorts of fruits and vegetables. But there's no reason to abstain from dairy or meats or anything like that. When it pertains to eye health. So I think it's all about keeping things in balance. And if people do that, then their eyes will stay healthy. Just like the rest of their body.
It's like your mama used to say, eat your veggies, get a good night's sleep, drink plenty of water, mm-hmm. and stay calm.
And then avoid, avoid the same things that you would avoid, for other reasons.
Exactly.
Stay away from tobacco. If you smoke, yeah. quit.
Right.
If you don't start.
Right.
I usually tell individuals, especially in an area like this where the sun shines a lot and we're at altitude, ultraviolet radiation. So just like individuals will protect their skin, I tell folks to wear sunglasses. Mm-hmm. When they're outdoors, especially on when it's sunny, mm-hmm. the summertime,
and you're on the water.
Yep. Or even during the wintertime when
you're in the snow.
Yeah. In the snow, the amount of ultraviolet radiation that reflects off the snow is significant. Actually, more than the water, but you get quite a bit off the water. As well too.
Yeah.
So
real quick here, I think we've got time. I'm going to guess broken bone. That's the top thing that you see in your department, or broken bones.
That's probably actually not the case.
Well, tell me real quick, because we only have a couple of seconds.
We see a lot of everything, to be quite honest, when it comes. We coordinate with all specialists, primary care physicians, the ER as well. So we see everything from patients that are struggling with Alzheimer's to patients who got in a car accident and everything in between.
All right. Thank you. I want to say a big appreciation, a huge thank you to Dr. Mark Torres and Dan Holland for taking time out of what I know is busy days to talk to us, share their expertise. Thank you so much, you guys. And hey, everybody, thanks for coming along for the ride. Will you come back next week? I hope so, because I'm talking with Fred Pettirutto with the a Christian Sober, Clean, and Living Houses right here in Sandpoint. So you want to be in on that? That'll be next week. Until then, this is Barbara saying thanks, and God bless you.
K246CU, 1450 KBFI, Bonners Ferry, 1400 KSPT Sandpoint.